Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. This is podcast 860B, and we have a great guest for you, aches and gains. Who doesn't have aches and want gains from them? It's a comprehensive guide to overcoming your pain. The author is Paul Christo, a physician at Johns Hopkins. But before we get to that, let me just say that You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, is our podcast now. We get more than 50,000 downloads a week, so we thank you. But you can rate us. You can download us every Tuesday, as you know. We are the show that lets you know how to take control of your health so you live at the top of your curve for a very long time. Paul Christo is a physician trained in pain management, anesthesiology, and pain management, teaches at Johns Hopkins as an associate professor. Paul, thanks for coming on. And Dr. Christo, I should say, so that people know, the book is called Aches and Gains. Why'd you write it?
Well, thanks for having me on, first of all. I wrote it because I felt like there really needed to be a comprehensive, understandable guide to how to overcome pain that anyone on the street could understand.
And so it's your goal with this was to make it a comprehensive guide, and it is, to understand pain. One of the things I like that you talked about was the, I would call it patient-generated thoracic outlet syndrome, which people often confuse as strokes or confuse as, if you will, neck pain generated by cervical spine issues, or talk about are they having a heart attack the first time it occurs, and that it occurs more often in women. What is it? Describe it to us, and then tell us a little bit about what you think is causing it and what the treatments are.
Sure. This is a relatively unknown syndrome, neurogenic thoracic outlet syndrome, and what it causes is pain in the neck, sometimes in the back of the neck, up the head, causing headaches. It causes pain down the arm, usually shoulder and the inner aspect of the arm, all the way down to the fingers, for example, the ring finger and the baby finger. What we think is going on is that there's some type of compression of the nerves in the neck called the brachial plexus, often induced by maybe a flexion, hyperextension, flexion injury of the neck, like in a motor vehicle accident or whiplash injury, for example. I've seen patients who really do a lot of overhead movement, suppose with their arms. So they've got, for example, jobs that require a lot of overhead arm movements, or swimmers, for example, baseball players, sometimes even violinists, develop this syndrome. We think that what's going on is that the muscles in the neck are becoming tense and tight, and they are putting pressure on the nerves underneath them, leading to pain, pins and needles sensations, and really quite a disability.
Right. So we see it. I actually see it in piano players who are pretty demonstrative with their left arm.
Yeah.
And they swing it wildly, and I always thought it was they got edema or they got swelling in those muscles, which were compressed in the thoracic outlet the same way against the ribs, the same way we see it with blood vessels in a true thoracic outlet syndrome. So what we're talking about is pain in your left arm that can be spiking or sudden, and you say it's pain in my left arm. They always said, and you get some funny numbness, this tingling, as you say, in the fingers, and you say, oh my gosh, I'm having a heart attack. And then when you don't die with it, you say, well, maybe this is cervical spine. I've been using my computer in the wrong way or something. And it really is you're using the arm the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. You're bringing up a good point, too, which is that I think we're seeing more and more of this in patients who do a lot of typing and a lot of, and many of us do now. I mean, we're on the computer for hours and hours a day, and our posture changes when we're typing and we're looking at a screen. And I think some of that is leading to muscle spasm and enlargement in the neck.
And what is the, tell me now what the treatments are. So when you get this, one, we've always talked about resting that arm or not doing the violent, as you can say, violinists get it. It's that use of that arm in as such an intense way, and avoiding sleeping on that side, if you will, sleep on your right side rather than your left side, where people traditionally get it. But so you've got some other therapies that you put in the book.
I do. Typically, I have patients do physical therapy for a couple of months. That can be quite helpful, stretching, strengthening that area, doing nerve glides, reducing the compression on the nerves. But what I do in addition to that, especially if it's not helpful, is use botulinum toxin, known as Botox, into one of the small muscles of the neck to reduce muscle spasm and reduce pain.
Reduce muscle spasm, reduce pain with Botox. Now, I've always been afraid to recommend that, and we have concert violinists and pianists, as you probably know, the Cleveland Orchestra is one of the, rated as number one in the world, and it's always rated in the top two or three in the world. And so we see it in these type of people, and I've always been scared thinking they would get a long-term, if they got a long-term injury from that, that it would be horrible for their career, whereas just resting it or physical therapy. And you do talk about physical therapy in the book.
I do, and that's key initially. It's the patients that seem not to benefit from that or not to benefit enough from physical therapy and other conservative measures that I have found do benefit from a small dose of Botox into one of the muscles of the neck, specifically one called the anterior scalene muscle, and that's what we feel is probably the causative agent in this syndrome. And I'm talking about maybe 25 units, and I do it under CT guidance so I can see the muscle clearly, and it's quite safe, and I've been doing it for about 15 years, and I've not seen side effects associated with it.
And so Botox is the stuff we use for wrinkles on the forehead and eyebrows that makes you look younger. And one of its other uses is to, in fact, for this purpose. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Botox is sort of an amazing molecule because on the one hand, yes, we use it for cosmetic reasons. On the other hand, we're able to use it for medical conditions and specifically pain conditions. So it has a couple of mechanisms of action. One, it reduces muscle overactivity. And two, interestingly, it also reduces the release of pain neurotransmitters. And that may be a reason that we're seeing that it's useful in chronic pain conditions.
And now, you use it elsewhere on the body as well. Where else has it found a what you might call a use?
Well, it can be used in the buttock for a syndrome called piriformis syndrome. That can lead to painful buttock pain as well as pain down the leg. It's used safely in one of the muscles of the buttock. It can be used safely in small doses in muscles of the low back for low back pain. And I use it even more frequently for chronic migraine prevention.
And talk to us about migraine prevention, because that's another thing that really causes a lot of people problems.
Tremendous number, and I myself suffer from episodic migraine.
Before you answer that, is that why you went into this field? Is that what stimulated that?
Oh, interesting. I think that frankly, I didn't know that I suffered from migraines when I was young. It wasn't until later that I realized I was getting these awful headaches that were debilitating. So, I don't think it was. It really stemmed from more of related to, I think, my own internship and seeing patients that were in pain that I just could not help. I didn't have the skills to help, and I really had a strong desire to make a difference in their lives.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. So let's talk about the use of Botox for migraine and other therapies you use.
Well, for migraine, and it's for chronic migraine versus episodic migraine, I've seen some remarkable effects in patients who have debilitating headaches, I mean, to the point where they really need to, they can no longer work, or if they're working, they have to go home. They really have a hard time eating and drinking and functioning because the headache is so bad. And I've seen some tremendous effects with the use of Botox to help reduce the frequency of migraines during the month. It's not always that it takes the migraine away forever, but boy, I'll tell you, I mean, in a lot of patients who have 20 migraines a month, if it goes from a 20 migraine a month to, gosh, 5, I mean, that's a huge difference. It also not only reduces the frequency of migraine headaches, but it can reduce the intensity. So if patients get migraines, they'll often report that it's not as intense as it used to be.
More of the You, the Owner's Manual podcast with Dr. Mike Roizen coming up. But first, I want to tell you about Organifi. Organifi is an organic superfood supplement line that makes quality, trusted nutrition convenient and accessible. We all know green juice is good for us, but have any of you tried juicing? Not only does it cost a fortune, especially if you're shopping organic, but it is also very time-consuming. And that's why I opt for Organifi Green Juice, an organic superfood green juice powder that you just add to water and get your greens on the go. It helps me sustain energy all throughout the day. It's quick and easy nutrition on the go. And it's not just any green juice. Remember, it's organic, and I want you to try it out, all right? Go to Organifi.com, and we're going to save you 20% off by using the code YOU, that's Y-O-U, at checkout. Once again, try out Organifi Green Juice for 20% off using code YOU, Y-O-U, at checkout at Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. Now back to Dr. Michael Roizen and the You, the Owner's Manual podcast.
So let's talk about the general approach, okay? So our typical listener is probably a 53-year-old woman who is beginning to have some knee pain when she walks too much or exercises too much. What should be her approach in your estimation? What should she do and in what order? Because you go through a really comprehensive program in the book, and let's at least tease the book and what it shows.
I think that initially, if someone has knee pain, as you pointed out, if the knee pain persists, and I'm saying I think persists for several months, 2-3 months, it's not going away, and the patient has sought out help by primary care physician, maybe tried anti-inflammatories, it's helpful to see then perhaps a pain specialist. And at that point, physical exam is done, history is taken. And, you know, if we're looking at arthritis, and that's certainly one of the top three common pain conditions, there are some useful treatments that are either integrative or even, you know, more standard therapies that can help ease pain and improve function.
And, okay, let's go through them, if you will.
Sure. I mean, I think that if often x-rays are performed of the knee or an MRI, if that shows osteoarthritis or, you know, degeneration, for example, of the articular cartilage or the meniscus, anti-inflammatories can be helpful by mouth. You also, a lot of patients I've found, and I myself am recommending glucosamine and chondroitin in high enough doses to make a difference in osteoarthritic pain. If we look at some of the injection therapies, local anesthetic steroid can be injected into the knee to reduce pain and improve function. And there is something called a visco supplementation. That's the injection of things like Synvisc, is a sort of a trade name of what's used to help improve osteoarthritic conditions of the knee and of the shoulder. It's a series of two or often three to five injections directly into the knee, for example, that improves the buoyant force in the knee. And finally, I've seen more and more patients, to be honest, who have had knee surgery and they have knee replacements and they have, unfortunately, persistent pain or worsening pain. And there are a couple of nerve blocks that can be performed that block sensory input to the knee. And if that's positive, meaning patients report meaningful relief, then there's a radio frequency procedure called cooled radio frequency that I've been using over the last couple of years that can provide sustained relief of knee pain. I mean, along the lines of 6 months or longer.
We've been talking and we're talking with Paul J. Christo, C-H-R-I-S-T-O. He's a physician. The book we're talking about is Aches and Gains, and the subjects he has in it, which is what you do in pain and how you prevent it from being chronic, how you avoid, if you will, narcotics. Now, Paul, you also talk about diet and meditation. So let's talk, because I don't want people to think that this is a straight procedure book or a book built more on procedures, although you do that in your practice at Hopkins. But it is also a book on, if you will, overall lifestyle.
Very true. I tried to craft the book in a way that would help people out with traditional methods of pain relief, integrative methods, and innovative approaches. I think the integrative methods are key. Diet is important, and I think it's often underappreciated and overlooked. What I mean by that is, you know, I find that a lot of patients of mine, when I ask them about their diet, are eating foods that are pro-inflammatory, you know, that lead to inflammation. And those are often meats or foods that are fried, fast foods. And I try to get patients of mine to reorient themselves to healthier diets. That is, it's okay to eat, you know, meat or chicken once or twice a week, but try to focus on some of the plant-based proteins. For example, fish, salmon, dark cherries, berries. I mean, these foods are helpful because they're anti-inflammatory and they can help reduce pain, not necessarily immediately. I mean, it's not an overnight thing, but over the course of several months, patients can really notice a difference in their pain.
Yeah, we find it actually even more quicker, if you will, when we teach them meditation. So I'm at the Cleveland Clinic, and obviously we've done some of the same things that you talk about in the book Aches and Gains, again by Paul Christo, and I'm talking to Paul Christo. We find when people go on fish oil, that is the DHA, the active component of fish oil, and get about 900 milligrams of that a day, and really go on a very and go anti-inflammatory, meaning avoiding all foods with saturated fats, simple sugars, added syrups, trans fats, and simple carbohydrates, the five food felons, and add meditation 10 minutes morning and night, they get much faster than we expect pain relief. And you don't know whether it's a placebo response or a real one, but it doesn't matter. They're getting the relief. And I think that's one of the keys. So when you do this, I would urge, if you're picking up the book Aches and Pains also, and you develop this, then think a lot about going and changing your diet and learning meditation or stress management process, and start it soon as you can. Let me talk about the common what we call pelvic pain, because you talk about that in this book, and that's such an unusual subject to talk about because so many people have found it very difficult to do anything with. What do you do?
Yes, that's often a subject is sort of a taboo subject. A lot of patients, both men and women, are afraid to talk about. A lot of patients that I see who have pelvic pain are typically women. Women have it more than men. And I think often they're developing it from pelvic surgery, unfortunately, from endometriosis, and the endometriosis persists and leads to quite severe, crampy, frequent abdominal pain that triggers the sympathetic nervous system, for example, you know, the fight-or-flight system, sweating and nausea, and it can be terrible and grueling. I have found that certain medications actually are helpful for that. Also, certain injection therapies that are deep, that target nerves that are deep inside the pelvis at times can be quite helpful. Even neurostimulation, you know, the use of small doses of electricity along the spinal cord or certain nerves can be quite helpful in patients who have just intractable pelvic pain.
And so is there physical therapy for this as well? And does do food choices help? Does something help with other things that they could do in addition to what you suggest?
Absolutely. Pelvic physical therapy is a staple for patients who have pelvic pain, especially women, and that can be somewhat invasive. However, over the course of several months, a lot of patients of mine have found some relief from pelvic physical therapy, sometimes biofeedback. Foods, I have to say, I've seen less of an effect from, but I think that it encompasses the approach that we discussed before of focusing on anti-inflammatory foods, because I think there is some benefit there.
We've been talking to Paul Christo, C-H-R-I-S-T-O. He's a physician who is the author of Aches and Gains, A Comprehensive Guide to Overcoming Your Pain. This is really a excellent book on all of the modalities for relieving pain. His discussion, for example, of the neurogenic thoracic outlet syndrome, I believe, is precious, valuable, and very unusual. So you may get this book and be able to learn a ton from it. I run a large pain practice, and I learn from it too. So it's not just for the amateurs, or it's not just from people who've done this a while, or even experts, but this is for all of us to learn from and learn how to treat chronic aches and pains and turn them into aches and gains. I love that.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks very much for listening. This is, and Randall, who's our engineer, please note this is 860B. That is, this is podcast 860B. If you want to come back and listen for more on aches and gains, come back to 860B. Thanks very much. And thank you for downloading us. Please do rate us. We'll be back next week with another great news of the week and a wonderful guest. The guest next week, well, I'm going to tweak it a little bit now, is a outstanding physician and he's not a physician, but you'd think he was a physician by how well this book is written and how empathetic it is. And we'll talk to you about his heart transplant. It is, in fact, Bob Mitchell's memoir of Time for Heart to Heart, a reflection of his remarkably eclectic life experience. But it isn't boring. It isn't dull. He's a great writer. And the Time for Heart to Heart you will enjoy. So come back to podcast 861B. In the meantime, you're listening, and you've been listening to You, the Owner's Manual podcast, the podcast that helps you learn from the news of the week and great guests how to take control of your health and live at the top of your curve till very near the end. Thanks very much.